'Tis not that I did choose thee, Lord, for Lord, that could not be.
Todd's Road Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
I've entitled this message, What Do I See in the Cross? In Luke chapter 23, beginning in verse 33, and when they came to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots, and the people stood behold him. The people stood beholding. There were many looking at that naked man nailed to a cross. The people stood beholding. Matthew's account says, sitting down, they watched him there. What did they see? How did they see? Some saw with sympathy, feeling bad for what this man was experiencing, seeing the injustice of it all. Some with apathy. They could care less what happened to this man. Some with hostility. They desired his crucifixion. They desired his death. They hated this man. Some saw him politically. I believe that's the way Pilate saw him. When he heard that he was king, he knew this would put him in trouble in his job as a Roman leader. We can't have any competition. But you know, there were some who saw him savingly. The thief on the cross. He heard the things the Lord said from Calvary's tree. And he was made to say, seeing the Lord Jesus nailed to a cross, seemingly so hopeless and helpless, Lord. He knew he was the Lord. Remember me when you come in your kingdom. He knew that he was going to be raised from the dead and come back as a mighty reigning king. And he said, when you do, remember me. And the Lord replied, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. What about the Roman centurion? He was the one who presided over the death of the cross, but when he saw what took place, here was his conclusion. Surely this man was the Son of God. That's what faith is. Believing he's God the Son. What do I see? Now, when I'm talking about what I see in the cross of Christ, I'm not talking about here's my take on things. Here's what I think. You may think this, and here's what I think. No, I'm giving you what I see the Word of God says regarding what was going on while that one was nailed to the tree. Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God. Now, here's what I see first. I see the hand of God. I see the will of God being done. I see what God purposed in eternity coming to pass in time. Remember, Christ is called the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. When Peter was preaching on Pentecost, he said, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and with wicked hands have crucified and slain. This was God's will being done. This was God's purpose being done. Christ said, I come. Lo, in the volume of the book it's written of me, I delight to do thy will, O God. This was the will of Christ. This was the will of God the Holy Spirit. This was God's purpose unfolding. The cross, when I see that one nailed to a cross, I see the will of God being done. Now, secondly, when I think of this one being nailed to the cross by the will of God, yes, men did it, men are held responsible, but this was God's purpose taking place. Next, I see the Old Testament scriptures revealed. This is what all the Old Testament scriptures pointed to. You know, people talk about the Old Testament as if it's not valid or something for people way back then. No, not at all. You can't preach the New Testament without preaching the Old Testament. And this is the Old Testament revealed. This is God fulfilling the promise. The seed of woman, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall crush the serpent's head. This is Abel's more excellent sacrifice that he was accepted while Cain was rejected. This is Noah's ark, where there was salvation and security and safety in the ark, and there was nothing but judgment outside of the ark. Christ is the ark that every believer is in and is protected from the wrath of God, while those outside of him suffer the wrath of God. This is Abraham's ram that substituted for his son Isaac, and he went down the mountain rejoicing. This is the Passover lamb, where God said, when I see the blood, Christ is the Passover. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. I understand the Sabbath now. We rest in him. We rest in who he is and what he did, and we don't work to earn our salvation. We see that he is salvation. I see the great high priest on the Day of Atonement bringing in the blood for Israel. Now, Paul said the gospel is how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And the New Testament had not yet been written. He was talking about the Old Testament scriptures. In seeing that one nailed to a cross, I see the Old Testament revealed. Now, thirdly, as I behold him nailed to the cross, I see what the writer to the Hebrews called in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, the blood of the everlasting covenant. Notice those words, the blood of the everlasting covenant. Now, the word everlasting means it never had a beginning and it'll never have an ending. It is eternal, the blood of the everlasting covenant. Now, you can't read the Bible and fail to see that God is a covenant-making, covenant-keeping God. That's who he is. Now, what's in a covenant? What is this, the blood of the everlasting covenant? Well, according to Galatians chapter 4, verse 24, now I know there were other covenants made that were given to picture this covenant. There was the covenant God made with Noah, I'll never destroy the earth again with water or a flood. There's the covenant to Abraham and his seed. There's the covenant to David. But Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 4, verse 24, these be the two covenants. There are really only two covenants, the covenant of works and the covenant of grace. The covenant of works was made with Adam in the garden. In the day you eat of this tree, you're to be perfectly obedient, and if you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. Now, the covenant of works is anything that makes salvation in some way dependent upon you doing something. That is the covenant of works. If salvation is dependent, Christ can die for you, God can love you, God the Holy Spirit can knock on your heart's door, but if you don't let him in, you won't be saved. If you don't accept him as your personal Savior, you won't be saved. If you don't as an act of your free will, receive him and accept him, you won't be saved. Salvation is ultimately dependent upon some work you do. That is the covenant of works, and it's doomed for failure. It'll never work. If you believe any aspect of salvation is dependent upon you doing something, you're under the covenant of works, and you're under the curse of the covenant of works. Cursed is he that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now, the covenant of grace is a covenant that God made with Christ. And he made this covenant with Christ before time began. He gave Christ to people. You remember Matthew 1:21 that says, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." He gave Christ to people, and he left the responsibility of the salvation of those people in Christ's hands. You assume flesh for them. You keep the law for them. You die for them and pay for their sins. You be raised for them. You ascend back to me to intercede for them. You return for them. That's the covenant of grace. And Christ sealed that covenant with his blood. The reason I'm saved is because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for me and put away my sin. And now the very justice of God demands my salvation because I have no sin to be punished for. Christ put it away. In that one, nailed to a tree, I see the blood of the everlasting covenant. The sin payment for all of God's elect. The same covenant David spoke of in 2 Samuel 23, verse 5, when he was dying. "Although my house be not so with God, yet hath he made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure, and this is all my salvation, and all my desire, though he make it not to grow." When I see that one nailed to a tree, I see the total depravity of our race. I see the sinfulness of men. When men are allowed to do what they want to do, they nail God to a tree. In seeing that one hanging on the tree, I see the total depravity of our race. Man's hatred of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now somebody says, "I don't hate Christ. I don't know anybody that does hate Christ." Well, you may not hate the Christ that you've made up. You know the Christ that's being preached our day, the one who wants to save you, but he can't unless you let him. The one who's waiting on you and can't save you unless you let him, unless you accept him, unless you, as an act of your will, decide to receive him, and your salvation's ultimately in your hands. Nobody's mad at that Christ. Nobody hates that Christ, but the Christ of the Bible, the Christ who is absolutely sovereign, and your salvation is up to him. It's not up to you. You don't have any control in this. It's up to him as to whether or not you'll be saved or pass by. Now, that Christ, men say, "We will not have this man reign over us," and they nailed him to a tree. But that is the Christ of the Bible, and I see the utter depravity of our race in our hatred toward the glorious Lord Jesus Christ. In that one nailed to a cross, I see the evil of sin. "He that spared not his own son." When sin was found on Christ, the sins of God's elect became his sins so that he became guilty of them. God refused to spare him. "Awake, O sword, smite the shepherd." It pleased the Lord to bruise him. What evil sin must be that even when God sees it in his only begotten and well-beloved Son, he forsakes him. And I see the reality. When I see that one hanging on the tree and giving up the ghost and dying, I see the reality of the wages of sin. The wages of sin really is death. And Jesus Christ really did die. And me and you, we're going to spend eternity either in eternal death, in hell, or in heaven. And what will determine our place in eternity is if we have to pay for our sins ourselves or if Christ paid them for us. And listen to me, if you want Christ to be your Savior, He will be. There's never been anyone who has said, Lord, save me. He said, no. He'll save all who come to Him. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. But I see the true wages of sin really is death. Now when I see that one hanging by his hands and feet, naked before a jeering mob, I see the character of God Almighty. Every attribute that God is pleased to make known concerning himself is seen in his dealings with his Son on the cross. Now understand this. Listen to this statement real carefully. The cross was not God's response to the fall and the sinfulness of man. God never responds. The cross, the reason for the cross, is because of the purpose of God. The reason for the cross is not man messing up and God trying to clean up things. The cross was to demonstrate who God really is. And every attribute, that's God's characteristics, His attributes, every attribute of God is displayed in the cross. We see His sovereignty. What He decreed in eternity must come to pass in time. We see His wisdom, how He's made a way to be absolutely just and yet justify somebody as sinful as me through the work of Christ on the cross. I see God's absolute justice. He will not let sin go unpunished, even if it's on His own Son. I see God's power, His power in being able to actually put away sin so it is no more by the work of Christ on the cross. I see God's love and God's mercy and God's grace. I see God's immutability. Every attribute of God that God has been pleased to make known is seen in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me give you a scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23 says, we preach Christ crucified. That's our message. We preach Christ crucified, the Son of God nailed to a tree. Unto the Jews, a stumbling block. They stumble at this. You mean to tell me that I can be saved simply by what somebody else did for me and not by my works? I just can't believe that. To the Greeks, it's foolishness. You expect me to believe that God became flesh and God lived and breathed and God died on a cross? Well, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, power of God, and Christ, the wisdom of God. When I see that one nailed onto to a tree, I see the very power of God, that He would assume human flesh, that He would allow Himself to be nailed to a tree. I see His power in putting away sin to where it is no more. I see His power in being able to justify somebody like me. I see His wisdom. No man could ever contrive a way for God to remain just and yet justify somebody who's unjust and make him truly just. Only God could do this. Only God could execute it. In Christ crucified, we see the wisdom and we see the power of God. And beloved, I see in the cross of Christ a finished salvation. Hear His words, it is finished. There's nothing for me to do. He did it all, and I rest in Him. It is finished. In the opening chapter of the New Testament, we read, thou shalt call His name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. It is finished. Mission accomplished. I see a completed salvation. I see God's salvation when I see Christ nailed to a tree. There's my salvation. And I see a completed salvation. No loose ends. Nothing left for me to do. What he did is everything. He is all in salvation. And when he said it is finished, the salvation of everybody he died for was completed, signed, sealed, and delivered. In that one hanging on a cross, I see a completed salvation. But don't we have to believe? Yeah, you got to believe that. That he finished the work. And there's nothing for you to do. He did it all. In the cross of Christ, I see a finished salvation. We don't sing, Jesus paid a half, the other half I owe. No, we sing, Jesus paid it all the debt I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Now, if he left anything undone, I'm undone. But thank God he did it all. And I say with Paul of old, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that was Paul speaking. The man God used in such an amazing way. He was used to write scripture. He was used to found churches. And he said, God forbid that I glory in any of that. All I glory in, all I have confidence in, all I rejoice in is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when I stand beholding that one on Calvary's tree, I see the only message to preach. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. There is no other message to preach. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that every time we preach, we're dealing with the physical sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ as he was nailed to the tree? No, it doesn't mean that. But it means there's no doctrine of the Scripture that's understood apart from the cross. For instance, God elected a people before time began to be saved. And they were viewed in the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That's how God saw them. When we talk about justification, and that's a believer being made sinless before God and perfectly righteous before God, it's because of what Christ did on the cross. He put away their sins and he gave them his righteousness. When we talk about faith, why? Christ crucified is the object of faith. If we talk about repentance, you change your mind regarding anything that is contrary to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and the character of God. You don't believe that anymore. When we talk about regeneration, well, regeneration comes when you see, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. In that great chapter in John 3 on being born again, you're born again through hearing and seeing the message of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Every doctrine in the Scripture is only understood in light of the cross. The cross is the subject of the eternities. Before time began, we read of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and in eternity future, when all time has been taken away, they're going to be singing, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. How often he's described as the Lamb in the book of Revelation, which is telling us of the end time. Now, in that one hanging on a tree, I see the lens through which I view the world. What do I mean by that? Well, Paul said, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Now, I enjoy life. I enjoy the blessings of family. I enjoy the blessings of the things the Lord gives me. God has given us all things richly to enjoy. I'm not talking about the world in the sense of just the material, physical world. It's a beautiful world. It's God's world. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But the world that hates Jesus Christ, the world's philosophy, the world's maxims, the world's religion, particularly the world's religion, I see as a crucified thing and a worthless thing. And I look only to Christ crucified. It's only through the cross that I live in this world now. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. In the life that I'm living right now, I'm crucified with Christ. Yet I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, seeing his love to me, I love him in return. The assurance the cross gives. Now, I'd like to look at a final scripture in Psalm 22. Psalm 22 is known as the Psalm of the Cross. It begins with, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, David felt forsaken, but this is prophetically the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. This was quoted from Calvary's tree. My God, why have you forsaken me? And then we read in verse 16, for dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hands and feet. That's obviously talking about the cross. And then he makes this statement. He says in verse 17, I may tell all my bones. They look up and stare at me. Now, the Lord could not see all of his physical bones. He saw some of them probably because of the crucifixion and the gashes and tears in his body, but he couldn't see all of his bones. His bones, though, is his body, the bride of Christ, the body of Christ. From Calvary's tree, he could look at all of his bones because all of them, every believer, looks up and stares at him in wonderment, in amazement. Right now, I'm looking and staring at the amazing grace of God in giving his Son to die for sinners. I love that hymn, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. When with the ransomed in glory his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. Now we have this message on DVD and CD. If you call the church, write or email, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Neiper praying that God will be pleased to make himself known to you.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.